A great boss doesn't just manage. They inspire, they disrupt, and create a team so exceptional that everybody else wants to know the secret. These leaders know how to push boundaries, break old habits, and get results without crushing the people they lead. They build teams where every player feels invincible. And that's when the magic happens. Innovations soar, deadlines get obliterated, and success follows. But let's not sugarcoat it. Bad bosses? They destroy everything. We're talking about toxic environments, plummeting morale, and talent running for the exit. These kinds of bosses don't just hold a team back, they ruin careers and businesses. And in this episode, I want to explore how to spot those leadership disasters, and more importantly, how to flip the script if you're stuck working for one. Welcome to Ignoring the Rules. I'm Wayne Robertson, the podcast that challenges everything you thought you knew about leadership and project management. And today, I'm cutting straight to the truth about what makes or breaks a team, the boss. So if you're ready to shatter the old rules and become the kind of leader people would like to go to war for, this is your episode. Hey, I'm getting questions about why this podcast is called Ignoring the Rules, which is a good question. It came from many years of working on and leading teams building projects. I developed the idea of leading from behind when I realized that the work is done by the team members who are putting their hands on the project. When I was leading projects, I was not directly doing the work. The individual team members did the actual work. My job was to support them, and I flipped the triangle over and put the team members at the top, and me on the bottom. You know, I was thinking about how business succeeds. And in business, every team member is a spark. And together, we're all to make a fire, not just set off a smoke alarm. And a business without its team members is kind of like a car without wheels. You can push it forward, but it's going to be awkward, and you're not going to make much progress. And you know that success starts with you, and also maybe a strong cup of coffee to get everything going in the morning. And sometimes I found myself waiting for someone else to kickstart things, but then I realized I need to check the mirror. It's maybe my turn to do that. And great bosses just don't lead. They plant seeds of success and occasionally water them with snacks. And a great boss knows that fostering an exceptional team starts with listening, not just waiting for their turn to talk. And building exceptional teams, I found out, starts with ditching the boss voice and saying simply, "How can I help?" And a great team doesn't need a perfect boss. Just one who cares enough to try, fail, and laugh about the whole thing at the end. And building exceptional teams is kind of like building IKEA furniture. It takes patience, it takes teamwork, and somebody who can read the manual. This story is fictional because the actual events that happened in my work is confidential. This brings out the real-life issues that are encountered in the work we do. Jake, a project manager at a leading tech firm, was known as his no-nonsense approach to management. His demanding and autocratic style often left the team stressed and demoralized. However, a pivotal moment made Jake realize the error of his ways, leading to a transformation in his leadership style. So this is the story of how Jake reformed his management approach and earning the respect of his team and leading them to the successful completion of the Orion Project. So, Jake was put in charge of the project, which was a groundbreaking initiative to develop an AI-powered healthcare platform. And from the beginning, his approach was strict and authoritarian. And he imposed unrealistic deadlines, micromanaged every task, and showed little regard for his team's well-being. His management style quickly led to a toxic work environment. Team members were afraid to voice their opinions, burnout rates were high, and productivity was declining. The project was falling behind schedule, and Jake's frustration only made matters worse. The tension reached a boiling point during a critical phase of the project. Sarah, a talented software developer, missed a deadline due to an overwhelming workload, and he publicly reprimanded her in front of the entire team, and causing her to break down in tears. And that evening, he found a resignation letter from Sarah on his desk. But it wasn't just Sarah. Several team members were on the verge of quitting. And that realization hit Jake hard because his leadership style was driving away his best talent and jeopardizing the entire project. That night, Jake could not sleep. He replayed the events in his mind and realized that he had been treating his team poorly, and he decided to seek advice from one of his mentors, a very experienced project manager named Tom, who had a reputation for being a great leader. So Tom listened patiently as Jake explained his situation, and he then shared his own experiences and emphasized the importance of treating team members with respect, recognizing their contributions, and fostering a supportive environment. And Tom's words resonated with Jake. He realized that he needed to change his approach completely if he wanted to turn the project around and retain his team. And so the next day, Jake called a team meeting, and he started by apologizing for his behavior and acknowledging the mistakes he had made. He assured the team that things would change and that he was committed to creating a positive work environment. Jake began by meeting each team member individually to understand their concerns, strengths, and personal goals. He listened attentively and made notes on how he could do better to support them. And then Jake implemented several changes to build respect and trust in the team. First, he adjusted project timelines to be more realistic and allowed team members to set their own deadlines, taking into account their workloads and their personal commitment. He then delegated tasks based on team members' strengths and gave them the autonomy to make decisions. He encouraged them to take ownership of their work and contribute ideas. And then he established an open-door policy and encouraged team members to speak up about any issues or suggestions. And he made sure to listen actively and to act on their feedback. And Jake also made it a point to recognize and celebrate the team's achievements, something he'd never done before. He started weekly meetings with a shout-out session where he would acknowledge individual contributions and express genuine gratitude. And Jake focused on creating a supportive and collaborative environment. He organized team-building activities and informal gatherings to strengthen relationships and build camaraderie. When team members faced personal challenges, he showed empathy and provided the necessary support. And for example, when Mark, a senior engineer, needed time off to care for his newborn, Jake arranged for flexible work hours and remote work options. In Jake's efforts to respect and support his team started to pay off. The work environment became more positive, and team members felt valued and motivated. With the newfound respect and trust, the team's productivity and morale improved significantly. They started hitting milestones and making steady progress on that project. And during a particularly challenging phase, the team encountered a complex technical issue. But instead of dictating solutions, Jake facilitated a collaborative brainstorming session. The team worked together, leveraging their diverse skills and expertise to come up with an innovative solution. And the success of this approach further reinforced the importance of mutual respect and collaboration. The team felt a renewed sense of purpose and confidence in their abilities. Thanks to Jake's transformation and team's hard work, the Orion project was completed successfully. The AI-powered healthcare platform received widespread acclaim for its innovation and user-friendliness, and positioning the company as a leader in the industry. And at the project's launch event, Jake gave a heartfelt speech acknowledging the team's dedication and hard work. He highlighted specific contributions and thanked each team member personally. And the applause from the audience and the gratitude from his team were a testament to the positive impact of his new approach. Now, the success of the Orion Project marked a turning point in Jake's career. His journey from a demanding autocrat to a respectful mentor became a model for effective leadership within the company. And Jake continued to lead new projects with the same philosophy, mentoring other project managers and sharing his experiences. And his story serves as an inspiring example of how treating team members with respect, recognizing their contributions, and fostering a supportive environment can lead to extraordinary success. In the fast-paced world of technology, Jake's approach proved that when people feel valued and respected, they are empowered to achieve greatness. And his journey underscores the importance of empathy, collaboration, and respect in driving success in any endeavor. So, we learn that bad management can significantly hinder the progress and success of projects. Here are some key characteristics and actions of bad managers in this context, along with some impact that they can have on the project and the team. The first is poor communication skills. They fail to clearly articulate project goals and updates and expectations, and they do not listen to team input or feedback, leading to misunderstandings and a lack of alignment. They also do micromanagement, overly controls or scrutinize the work, inhibiting the autonomy and professional growth of team members. And they create a stressful environment where creativity and initiative are stifled. And if it's a technical project, they do not grasp the technical complexities of the project, which undermines their ability to make informed decisions and provide useful guidance. This leads to them possibly setting unrealistic deadlines or expectations without understanding the technical challenges involved. And you know, they can't delegate effectively because they either hoard responsibilities or they delegate inappropriately, not matching the tasks with the appropriate team members' skills and career goals. And that leads to inefficiencies, that leads to bottlenecks, as the work is either not done, or it's actually done poorly. And they sometimes can neglect team development. They ignore the importance of career development and training for team members. And this results in a demotivated team, a skill gap that can jeopardize project success. They also oppose new ideas or methodologies that could improve outcomes. And that prevents the team from adapting or changing to circumstances or leveraging new technologies. And they can be inconsistent. They have requirements or expectations changing without clear communication or justification, which in turn causes confusion and makes it difficult for the team to focus and prioritize effectively. They also rarely provide constructive feedback or recognize good performance, leads to a lack of direction and motivation among team members. also reduce productivity. The teams are less productive when they're not motivated or do not understand the project's goals due to poor communication and leadership. And with constant micromanagement and lack of recognition, the career development opportunities can significantly lower team morale. And, of course, the next thing happens is they're out and gone. And talented individuals are likely to leave if they feel stifled, unrecognized, or undervalued. And that leads to high turnover and associated costs. And inefficiencies in task delegation, inefficiencies in planning, decision-making, can lead to repeated setbacks and delays in projects' timelines, which is very discouraging. So without proper guidance and understanding of the requirements, the quality of work can suffer, potentially leading to rework and dissatisfaction among those trying to get the job done. And so by resisting change and innovation, a bad manager can cause a project to fall behind technologically and competitively, make it very difficult to meet market needs at all. So, effective management is crucial in projects where complexity and the need for innovation are high. Bad management practices can undermine the project's success, and it can negatively impact the team's morale and their productivity. So, recognizing these traits and addressing them through training or changes in leadership can help steer technical projects back onto the path of success. And over the years, I've worked with dozens of managers and interviewed many more. And I consider how they approach their jobs and how they characterize their successes. And I've noticed they tend to adhere to some basic rules. The first is manage individuals, not numbers. Now, conventional business thinking is that what's important is slicing and dicing the numbers, putting the numbers into graphs, and talking about where the numbers are and where they ought to be. But here's the problem. Numbers are the result of how well you manage people, not how well you manage numbers. And the only way to get better numbers, regardless of how you measure them, is to improve the performance of the individuals who work for you. Remember, the numbers are just a tracking. Adapt your management style to the individual. And despite how popular it is, it's impossible to manage people. You can only manage individuals. And since everyone is unique, there's no one-size-fits-all management style. Therefore, as you explain exactly what you want from each employee, actively solicit the employee's suggestions and ideas about how you can get the best possible work from that person. And this one turns out to be invaluable. Adopt simple and relevant metrics. And while your main focus needs to be individuals, based on, you know, just numbers alone, you will still need a way to measure how well these individuals are doing. And if you have very complex measurements with multiple metrics and all kinds of things like that, you're going to create confusion among employees and managers. So, ideally, what is being measured should be simple for every employee to understand at a glance and relate as closely as possible to the behaviors that they're trying to encourage. If the work doesn't affect the metrics are a waste of time. And this one is really critical. You're dealing with a team of individuals, so set a single priority per individual. Not too long ago, I received an email from someone whose boss assigned multiple tasks and insisted that each was a huge priority. The boss wasn't very smart, because if everything is a priority, then nothing is a priority. The entire concept of a priority is that one thing is more important than everything else. Giving your employees multiple priorities is foisting on them the responsibility of deciding what is really important, and that's your job. And you know, get a hold of yourself When you explode an employee or make a cutting or hurtful remark, it creates a wound that never heals completely. And that fosters secret resentment. You don't have to be perfect, but your employees are not your punching bags. And frequently I've seen bosses go crazy on someone, and it wasn't the person's fault. They just happened to be nearby. Employees despise bosses who are so emotionally weak they have to dump their anger and frustration onto others. And by contrast, employees deeply appreciate a boss who remains calm in the middle of the worst crisis. And I also found that the best people measure themselves by their weakest employee. Managers often use their top performance as a measure of how successful they are as leaders. However, while you may have a top performer on your team, that success is more likely to reflect their drive and ability rather than anything you brought to the table. So measure your management ability on the basis of how to handle your worst performers. It's those employees who define the lowest level of performance that you're willing to tolerate and how much you expect other employees to compensate for your low standards. You know, in doing this, I found out that being generous is not just about money. It's also how you treat people. Smart bosses know that their real job is to fix the failures before they happen. Publicize the wins employees achieve. And take the heat when things go wrong. Money is what employees expect from their jobs, not from their bosses. Employees want bosses to be generous with information, with their time, with praise, and coaching that teaches employees how to do their jobs better. And this is a trap I fell into early on. Many bosses wrongly believe their job is to be an expert and know all the answers. However, when managers provide all the answers, they rob their employees of the opportunity to think and grow. And usually managers almost never have all the answers. And while experience has value, people can't learn when wisdom is presented on a platter or forced down their throats. Employees respect bosses who admit they don't know everything and ask questions that help spark an employee's own creativity. You know, this next issue is easier said than done. I fell into this trap more than once. We're all human. You're going to like some of your employees better than others. But even so, you can't let those personal preferences become an excuse for treating those you like differently from those you won't. And trust me, everybody notices. And playing a favorite demoralizes the other employees because they know that their best work won't count for as much. And in addition, playing a favorite creates a lot of hostility towards that favorite. If you remember from school, the teacher's pet almost always got clobbered on the playground. It was terrible. I was never a teacher's pet, but I saw it. As a boss, you want your employees to watch out for your interests, help you be successful, and not leave you in the lurch the second they find a better job. In other words, you want loyalty. However, that's not so easy. Loyalty must be earned. You can only expect employees to be loyal to you if you're willing to first be loyal to them. That means watching out for their interests, helping them be successful, and keeping them on board even if you can hire someone else for less. Now, transparency is a big deal, and it's really hard. Trust me, this is not simple. Some bosses play their cards close to their chest and never let employees in on the decision-making process. But you know what? Smart bosses know that decisions are more successful when those tasked with their implementation are involved from the start. And you know what? There's buy-in. The moment they're involved, it's now their project too. Because a boss who disappears into an office, makes a decision, and then emerges with a set of commands leaves the impression that the decision is arbitrary And even if they don't like the decision, employees far prefer to understand the workings of the boss's mind and exactly why that decision was made. Now, on the other hand, some bosses are so risk-averse, they require mountains of information before making any important decisions. Smart bosses, on the other hand, understand there's a point, and it's usually fairly quickly comes along, at which additional information merely muddies the water. Obsessing about and second-guessing your decision-making usually, almost always, is a waste of time. You're better off making a good enough decision and get going than waiting for an imaginary perfect decision to emerge from a real-world situation. And people who are waiting for the perfect decision are not really trying to do a good job. They're just trying to protect themselves. So here's the bottom line out of all this. You manage individuals, not numbers. You adapt your style to each person. You measure what is truly relevant. Only one priority per person. You stay even-tempered. You take responsibility for your low performers, and you share your thoughts and ideas. You ask questions rather than providing answers. You treat everyone as equally as possible and don't expect more than you're willing to give. Explain the reasoning behind your decisions and you don't delay. Go ahead, decide now. Go for it. That's all we have for today's episode of Ignoring the Rules, where I dissected the stark contrast between the havoc a bad manager can wreak and the wonders a great manager can perform within a project team. And we dove deep into the pitfalls of poor management, how micromanagement and poor communication and lack of technical insight not only stalls productivity, but it can deflate the spirits of a very talented team. And remember, a bad manager can turn even the most promising project into a maze of missed deadlines and muddled goals. But it's not all doom and gloom. We also celebrate the magic of great management. We discussed how a visionary leader doesn't just steer the ship, but inspires the crew. A great manager can transform challenges into victories and empower their team to perform what can only be described as project miracles. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Make sure to join me next time on Ignoring the Rules. And please go to WayneRobertson.com for the latest new episodes and additional information about this new world of getting projects done. And you can find different locations where you can listen to the podcast, subscribe to a mailing list, and find free documents I've created. And I welcome comments about the podcast episodes and subjects that you would like to see in future episodes. I don't have all the answers. And some days I wonder, do I have any? And so I'm always happy to see your comments and information. We are all in this together. And the more we share information, the better off we'll all be. So let us all know what you found that works in your projects and your work. Thanks so much. I'll see you next time on Ignoring the Rules.